Vandus watched helplessly as his friend was taken home to Azir. Then Kallinax was there, growling at Vandus in rebuke. Vandus placed his palm flat on the beast's hide in wordless apology for leaving him, and climbed onto his back. Horns rang. There were two towers close by, one standing athwart the raised road Vandus was upon, and another situated further into the sea on the roadway parallel to him. Upon the second road, Thostos and his warrior chamber had a group of Chaos Warriors trapped. These were being pushed back, screaming as they fell from the edge. Vandus's roadway was almost clear of the enemy, and the army was retreating towards its towers. Another horn blared, and the retreat abandoned all semblance of order as the Chaos Warriors broke into headlong flight.
"Hold!"
shouted Vandus. To his relief, the Stormcast checked their pursuit and began ordering themselves. Another horn sounded, shrill and demoniacal. The gates to the keeps clanked open, and out thundered tall knights of chaos upon heavy horses. They rode forward without care for their fellows, and more than one fleeing infantryman was buffeted off the edge of the road. Their lances dropped, and they smashed into the lead elements of Vandus's army. So many died that the Lord Celestant lost sight of the Chaos Knights as a wall of storm magic leapt upward. Vandus and Kallinax hastened forward, the Drakoth leaping between lesser walkways, support spars, and the vile decorations that clung to them. A clattering of metal wheels upon the road preceded the arrival of heavy chariots, fashioned from steel, each dragged by a grunting ape-like creature. Their charge spent, the knights wheeled and fell back with admirable grace, leaving lanes free for the chariots to crash into the ranks of Stormcasts. Unable to move aside, Sigmar's warriors instead leapt to the attack and were cut down for their bravery. Dozens of Stormcasts were tossed high into the air by the impact and the flailing fists of the warbeasts. Scythes on wheels lopped limbs from bodies, while those Stormcasts wounded but not slain were finished by the halberds of the charioteers.
"Is there no end to them?"
asked Vandus. He looked for opportunity. There, on the other causeway, a chariot went hurtling at the rear of a group of celestial vindicators.
"Can you make the leap, my friend?"
Kallinax grumbled deep in his chest by way of reply. He crouched down, muscles bunching in his huge haunches. With a tremendous push, he jumped into the air. A blur of bubbling silver passed beneath his belly, and he and Vandus were over, slamming straight into the side of the chariot and tipping it over with an almighty bang. It skidded across the road and plummeted into the silver sea, its dray ape hooting in surprise and fury as it was dragged to its death. Another chariot came at them, and Kallinax lowered his head like a bull, bashing aside the ape and knocking the chariot onto its side. The charioteers were thrown free, one sliding straight off the edge, the other arresting his fall and scrabbling for an axe. Kallinax crept up over the upended chariot, and Vandus swept off the man's head with a blow from Heldensen. The ape thing ripped at its traces, dragging itself free enough to aim a brutal fist at the Drakoth's face. Kallinax caught the hand in his jaws and wrenched it free in a spray of blood. The ape howled and staggered before Kallinax disemboweled it with a swipe of his claws. Kallinax climbed atop the wreck, raised his head, and roared. Behind them, Thostos and his men were dispatching the remainder of the infantry. On the other road, the Stormcasts finally halted the chariot's progress and slew riders and beasts. Lesser walkways swayed as warriors duelled upon them. No quarter was asked and none given. At great cost, the day belonged to the Stormcast Eternals. Vandus stood atop a captured tower and watched his men as they went about the unpleasant business that follows any battle. They walked causeways choked with corpses, tipping the bodies of Chaos Warriors into the Silver Sea. The air was thick with heat, and the sea glowed ruddily in the dark. The Stormcasts went slowly, for all were by now mightily weary.
8 days' march, 4 days' climb, and a battle, said Vandus to Kallinax. And still Lord Thostos paces like a caged lion, eager for the hunt.
Vandus watched his restless friend. The foxfire of his eyes glowed balefully. Vandus suppressed a shudder.
thinking on the fates of Andricus and Ionis. Would they too be changed when next they met? He had assumed that his friendships in this new life would never be sundered by death. How quickly he had been proven wrong. As for the rest, they're tired. Kallanax rumbled beside him. Men's strength lies in another place to yours, my friend, said Vandus. And these are not men, but more than men. Even they have their limits, and they must rest. He himself was exhausted. His muscles ached. Sorrowful and uncertain, he looked out down the network of pathways and roads. The day had been carried, but the price was almost too high, and Vandus had sincere doubts that he would be successful. First, Andricus had fallen, and now Ionis. Only 1,000 stormcasts had followed him up the falls, the rest taken elsewhere by their lords, and of that number, a full half had been slain gaining the Crucible Lip and the First Tower. There were dozens of fortifications between them and the island where the Eldritch Fortress sat, gloatingly beneath the Chaos Gate. Fires burned from the tops of towers, and harsh music and uncouth shouts came from the nearest. How do we reach it? He murmured. We have but 500 Stormcast Eternals remaining. So many are gone back to the Chambers of Reforging. I will sorely miss Andricus's guidance in the matters of siege. We are lost and alone in a nation of maniacs. He looked upward. The night was at its darkest, and the skies were rich with stars. He looked at them a while, and when he spoke again, he was less bitter. During the long calm, I would go to the top of the towers in Sigmaron, he said. Kallanax huffed out a steaming breath. I would seek enlightenment there, try to remember who I was, and to find my place in the new world I found myself in. He looked to his mount. I hear the Dragonkin ask the stars for sooth often, and that they sometimes reply. Will they answer me now? Vandus looked upwards and slowly shook his head. No, I see nothing. The constellations are all different, and they do not know me. What should I do, noble Kallanax? I wish you could speak the tongues of men and share your wisdom. Vandus returned his gaze to the stars. The venture hung by a thread. What could he do? Perhaps the answer lay within himself. He recalled Ionis' words to him about his visions, that they might prove either useful or treacherous. Could he seek to trigger them consciously? Vandus was profoundly uncomfortable with the idea, but he closed his eyes. He had no clue what he should do. In his old life, he had no gift of magecraft. But was his stormcast body not suffused with magic? Perhaps all he must do was... He fell deep within himself. His knees buckled. He felt it as if it had happened to someone else, but enough awareness remained that he fell away from the edge of the tower, and then he knew no more of his earthly body. A flicker of images came. He saw the alchemist's moon rising up over the edge of the crucible and climbing towards its apogee. As its light intensified, the great worm Argentine twisted and hid its face from the brightness. Silver stiffened and solidified. Baying parties of chaos warriors poured from the keeps and islands of the land and hunted across the solid surface. The silver was still hot and steamed in the reflected moonlight, but was made hard. Vandus's perspective shifted. He saw before him a citadel, bigger than any other, and he knew with iron certainty that this was the castle of King Thrond, the lord of this land. It jutted out over the silver sea on a natural promontory of stone and metal. As he saw this, what he must do came to him with utter clarity. He gasped, and his eyes flew open. His skin ran with sweat under his armor. Despite the heat of the crucible, he shivered. Kallanax nosed his master. The Lord Celestin slowly sat up, then stood. Again the weakness he had felt before afflicted him. He walked to the parapet of the tower to look upon his warriors. He knew what he must do.
He shouted for attention and began to address his men. Chapter 7. The Siege of the Citadel. After many travails of blood and sorcery, Vandus's army had reached the center of Thron's kingdom. Of the many thousands who had set out from Elixir, just a few hundred stormcasts remained. Behind them burned a score of keeps and lesser forts. Thrond had fled, his armies overthrown and his citadel empty. The king had taken refuge in the Eldritch Fortress. Nevertheless, Vandus feared victory might slip from his grasp at this last pass. The alchemist's moon was rising, and today it would reach its apex, an event that would cause the Great Worm to turn its fires away from the Silver Sea. Already the moon was sliding past the Crucible's rim, its light picking out the rough hills there in bright silvers and deep sable.
"Faster, my warriors! We must be quicker!"
Vandus sat upon Kallanax on a knoll overlooking Thron's castle. Around the landward side, stormcasts worked at the hill, hacking away at the hanging promontory the citadel perched upon. Magical hammers boomed, and swords hacked slivers from the metal-rich stone. Thunderbolt crossbows sent crackling jags of energy searing into bedrock, melting the ores therein. Molten metal dripped into the sea, and the stone glowed ruby red. The alchemist's moon cleared the crucible, its lower rim parting from the horizon like the end of a kiss. Argentine shuddered and shied away from its weird brightness, and the silver started to thicken.
"Faster!"
called Vandus. His eyes flicked back and forth between his warriors and the alchemist's moon. So quickly it hauled itself heavenward, flowing as smoothly as quicksilver. At the summit of the island squatted Efrix's Eldritch Fortress. Its walls ran up to the very brink, jutting over the Silver Sea here and there. Strands of magical force crackled and whooped around the walls. Its copper skulls glowed with evil energies. The air shimmered and ran with multicolored sheet lightning. Over it pulsed the mighty Shard Gate, an irregular gash in the air surrounded by an inhumanly tall archway, studded with gigantic crystals. The stepped walls of Thron's castle were modest by comparison, a crenellated ziggurat adorned with snarling effigies of his menagerie. It was situated upon a jag of rock standing clear of the island, directly above the Silver Sea.
"You race against 2 hourglasses. The timing must be perfect for your plan to work, and the sorcerer prepares to shift his fortress once more," said Thostos. "Let the sands of one run out, and all is lost. How long can we chase this mage across Chamon?"
"The timing will be perfect," said Vandus. "And if it is not, we will hunt him until the hammer is recovered. There is no other way."
"There is not, I concur. But we have only minutes before this chance is gone," said Thostos.
"We shall be ready," said Vandus.
Some deep-set part of the castle's foundations cracked. Stone screeched on stone. A quiver ran through the building, barely perceptible to the eyes of men, but strong enough to shake loose a statue and send it crashing into the sea.
"Halt!"
shouted Vandus. He ordered the stormcasts back from the trench they had hacked into the stone. Judicators aimed their weapons at the weakened section bridge and tensed for the final order. The moon went higher, eclipsing the stars with its bulk. Magic shivered through Vandus's armor at its waxing might. The silver worm's fires had gone out. The sea heaved under a rapidly forming skin.
"Stand ready,"
said Thostos. The moon passed over the Shard Gate, and its outline wavered behind the weird magics. The crystals in the gate glittered with colors as they captured the moon's light.
Kallanax roared. Vandus dropped his arm. The assembled judicators of his army fired with their magical arrows. The missiles transmuted themselves to darts and spears of energy and slammed into the ground by the base of Thron's citadel. A dazzling light burst across the Silver Sea, the moon's glow reflected 20 times over. Deprived of Argentine's fire, the ripples on the metal slowed and stopped. The shadow of the fortress and the island swept around the coast, and the silver stopped its churning. With a tremendous crack, the stone under Thron's citadel broke. Showers of rocks splattered into the thick medium of the sea.
Then the fortress itself hit the setting sea, sending up a tall sheet of thick silver as it splashed down. This washed up the cliffs onto the fortress walls, curling back onto itself in a massive argent wave. The shadow passed. The moonlight arrested the ocean, and the wave froze. Droplets of suddenly solidified silver fell from the sky as hard as bullets, rattling on the surface of the sea.
"The fortress is held fast!" shouted Vandas. "Galmaraz awaits! Charge!"
With a shout, the storm host scrambled forward onto the frozen mass of the wave. Digging in blades and clawed fingers, they hauled themselves upwards. The silver was still hot, and the metal burned them as they climbed, but the storm cast did not relent. In places it was thin, while in others too smooth or too hard, and a number fell, sigmarite clattering as they skidded helplessly off the metal and down to the sea below. Their departure boomed loudly over the frozen ocean, but still the storm casts were undeterred. Kallanax raced up the wave, taking Vandas to the plateau atop the island. Magic crackled and arced along the fortress wall, then gave out with a piercing series of whistles. Frozen silver anchored the walls firmly to the stone. The fortress was held fast. Vandas got down from the back of Kallanax and strode to the nearest gate. He hefted Heldensen and slammed it hard against the grotesque bronze face cast into the surface.
"Bring out the hammer!" bellowed Vandas.
He smote the door again.
"I call upon you, Efrix of Chamon. Bring out the hammer, and your end will be swift."
A third time Heldensen clashed into the gate, scarring the metal. The Stormcast Eternals had gained the clifftop and were forming up. No word came from the fortress. The outer walls were much cracked and damaged from Thostos's earlier assault and left unmanned.
"Give me your answer, Efrix," shouted Vandas. "You are lost."
The rest of Vandas's army came after him. Thostos strode to his side. A crackling sound came from above, a whine building behind it. Vandas stepped backwards until he could spy the shard gate over the looming tower and walls. The crystal adornments sprayed fountains of sparks and long, bright streaks of crimson fire into the night. They flickered, turning through forms of pure light, patches of darkness, and back to gems. The shard gate rippled, the roil of energy visible through it coalescing and forming a wide landscape comprised solely of hideous faces. Uncountable voices whispered covetously as unearthly eyes fixed themselves upon Chamon.
"Here is your answer, Vandas Hammerhand."
The voice issued from the mouth of every gargoyle on the fortress walls. It was old and wise and full of dread power. Malice dripped from every word.
"A tide of demons to drown in. The hammer is no longer the godling's, but mine. Begone from the gates of the Eldritch Fortress. Take tidings of his defeat from here, and you may yet live a while."
The whine reached a crescendo. A howling wind burst out from the shard gate. One after another, the crystals exploded, sending tinkling fragments all over the fortress. When the last detonated in a burst of multicolored fire, the shard gate dilated, yawning wider and wider until it filled the sky. A triumphant scream blasted out, and the faces upon the other side pressed forward, then burst through, the single mass they made splitting into a cascade of demons that showered to the ground in an unending flood. They were long-armed and pumpkin-bodied, of blue and pink. They laughed and grumbled as they landed, galloping forward in knuckling runs and swinging down the decoration on the outside of the walls as agile as apes.
"There is a breach in the wall,"
said Thostos to Vandas, unmoved by the horde of creatures leaping free from the realm of chaos. "This way." Moments later, the first of the demons slammed into the stormcasts.
"Your magics are poor, wizard," said Corgus Cool.
He and King Thrond seemed to fill Efrix's scrying chamber. Cool stank of blood, and his eyes were manic in the sockets of the skull he wore as a helmet.
"And you promised me a horde of demons, but bring me only mortals," snapped Efrix. Fortunate it is for us all that my magic is strong enough to call up my own demons.
He stalked back and forth, mind working madly. His plans were not going as he intended. None of them. The demon gale would hold the enemy for a while, but for how long? Already, upon seeing the Stormcast's approach, he had resolved to flee once again. But the fortress was held fast. Dare he attempt the translocation to the Crystal Labyrinth now? He fretted over the issue. Despite what he said to the warriors, he had taken no part in the demon gale, and its advent spoke of but one thing. Kairos.
"My chariots will stop them," said Thrond. "We have no need of this blood-crazed madman."
"Will they now?"
Efrix cast his gaze heavenward in exasperation.
"They did not stop the foe upon the walkways. Your forts did not stop them. Your warriors did not stop them. Your knights did not stop them,"
he said bitterly.
"This remains my kingdom, Efrix. Watch your tongue."
"Your kingdom has fallen, you fool,"
shouted Efrix.
"This fortress is all that remains. You complained at my behavior as a guest, Thrond. Now you are my guest. So I say to you, watch your tongue."
"This is your doing, mage. You led them here," said Thrond. "I ought to kill you where you stand."
"And if they had the hammer, you would already be dead. We are forced upon each other's mercies, Vexos. This is a common enemy. Surely even you can see that Kul's presence here is proof of that."
"I am here only for the hammer hand," growled Kul.
"You invite the servant of the Blood God into my lands, when I could deal with these invaders myself? We will live to regret this."
"Silence!"
screamed Efrix. He jabbed a clawed hand at Thrond, and the king went as rigid as a corpse. When his muscles relaxed, his eyes glowed a watery green, and he was indeed silent. His head tracked Efrix's pacing as loyally as a dog's.
"Leave the one called Vandas to me. His head is mine," said Kul.
"By all means," said Efrix. "Now get to the defense. In the absence of more powerful allies, it will be you facing their hammers, but not alone. Thrond, get your chariots to the breach."
"Yes, my master," intoned King Thrond. "I obey."
The two warrior lords departed, Kul quickly, eager to be at the slaughter, with Thrond plodding after as sluggishly as a sleepwalker. Feathers rustled in the shadows. A dry smell of birds and magic wafted across the room on a draught stirred up by broad wings.
"Kairos,"
said Efrix. He fought to keep fear from his voice, smothering it in a shrill haughtiness.
"Why must you lurk so? You could have come forth and dazzled these wretches with your magnificence and saved my temper."
Kairos emerged from an alcove much too small to have contained him. He looked down at his acolyte with detached amusement.
"You cannot make them do your bidding. Must I do everything myself? You are a poor servant, Efrix." "All this is but a distraction," said Efrix. "The demon gale will hold them back."
"Will it?"
said the demon's right head.
"It was I that summoned it, though you told the bloody one otherwise. Alone, it will not be enough. I shall bring up an arcanabulum. You will have the honour of casting the lunar reversal, that we may escape the Crucible's grip and ascend to the Shard Gate."
"The lunar..."
Efrix's face dropped.
"You will attempt the translocation now?"
"How else, small horn dabbler?"
said Kairos's left head.
"Did you intend to flee at our moment of triumph?"
"Will I not die attempting it?"
"Perhaps,"
said the right head.
"If you don't, then I will have nothing left to teach you." "Perhaps not,"
said the other.
"If you die, well, the same will also be true."
A stab of cold terror raced down Efrix's spine. He had spoken those words himself once, long ago.
"What have you seen? What is my fate?"
Kairos held up a taloned hand, bringing it up and round in a grand gesture, finishing as a clenched fist before the sorcerer's face.
"You of all people should know that your fate is unimportant. Sigmar once learned that even he is not beyond Tzeentch's influence. What makes you believe your fate is your own to choose?"
Kairos's index finger flicked out. Efrix made to move, but found he was immobile, transfixed by Kairos's stare.
With the demon gale come my brothers of the Nine. They gather now to call the Shardgate down. It is too late, I think, to bring all of Chamon to our master, but the hammer shall be his. Zinch himself will grant us many boons for that.
Kairos tilted one head to one side, the other the opposite way.
See? A simple plan. One even you cannot disrupt for me. The spell you cast upon Thrond. I taught you that, no?
Efrix was unable to answer.
Of course I did,
said Kairos's other head. He pressed his long talon into Efrix's left eye, and Efrix felt his will drain away from him. First went his control over Thrond, then his desire to triumph, until all was replaced with a cool indifference. Beneath this numbing blanket existed an ember of defiance, but it was small and cooling. Green light pulsed from Efrix's eyes.
It is high time we reminded Sigma who is the master of the spheres,
said Kairos Fateweaver.
You will aid me, little puppet, whether you wish to or not. Your days of freedom are done, ninth disciple of the ninth tower.
Kairos walked to a blank spot in the wall with a shambling gait, as if the form he wore were not entirely to his satisfaction. The Lord of Change spread his arms, and the wall flowed apart, revealing a staircase that wound around and down through the thickness of the great tower. The outer walls were pierced by many windows that let out onto the howling storm of chaos outside. Through them, the sorcerer could see the vortex of energy spiraling around the fortress, carrying demons on its winds. Thunder cracked and banged, fighting against the intrusion. Kairos clacked his beaks in laughter.
The storm god tries to bring his wrath to bear, but he cannot. All he can do is watch helplessly as we snatch away his true power. Your allies did better than you think, ninth fool of the ninth idiocy. They killed the raincallers and the nursemaids among the foe, and they cannot call more of Sigmar's lackeys down to earth.
Kairos eyed the stairs.
You first, I think,
he said. He jiggled one hand in a mockery of a puppeteer. Efrix danced stiffly towards the stairway, unable to stop himself. He raised his arms up before him, straight as brooms. Strangled arcane phrases spilled from his lips.
That is good. Wage the war for me,
said Kairos.
While I think,
said the other head. And so Efrix was carelessly worked by the Lord of Change as they went down and round the mighty tower, heading towards the secret inner keep. Efrix called up demons by the score as Kairos muttered and argued to himself, his heads disagreeing on the most petty of matters. Although he could not move without Kairos's direction, Efrix caught glimpses of the battle from the corner of his eyes. Stormcast Eternals had come easily into the ward of the castle via the unrepaired breach. They fought through Thrond's chariots, his own traps, and hosts of demons. They were mighty, he had to admit. Being so enslaved robbed him of anger, and he viewed the furious battle outside in a detached, calculating manner. Each twist of the stair brought him a new view. Winged warriors snatched from the air, and magical flames incinerating the enemy by the dozen. Lords transformed and destroyed. Warrior by warrior, the stormcasts were being whittled down. Kairos and Efrix reached the bottom of the stairs. The tower encased a domed keep of stone, and the tall gash in the tower let in the light of battle to fall upon it. From the centre of the keep glowed the painful brilliance of Gal Maraz.
Come, brothers, we have great works to accomplish,
Kairos croaked. Through the gap in the wall came a procession of 8 Lords of Change. They shuffled through, as slow as elderly men. All were different, their staffs marked with esoteric symbols even Efrix did not know. Here was one with plumage of bright magenta, there one with 4 eyes above a hooked beak. One was fat, while another was skeletally thin. One was covered in scintillating plumage, another's form flickered and blurred. They bowed to their lord as they passed, and Kairos greeted them all by name. Such names as hurt the minds of men, even those as well-versed in the arcane as Efric's. Names like that should only be learned after great preparation, but Efric's heard them all in relentless order. He was locked upright, unable to move. Inside the prison of his skull, he screamed. The eight stepped by, croaking obscure mandalas or bandying ineffabilities with each other. Their chatter was the chatter of madmen and geniuses. They were the sages of insanity, and reality itself rebelled at their presence. The foremost Lord of Change raised his staff, and the inner keep's doors shattered into colourful motes that swarmed upon the air. The lead cairn that had contained Gal Maraz inside the keep had been much battered, and the light of the hammer flooded out stronger than ever before. The Lords of Change were unconcerned by the light. At another croaked command, the cairn exploded, scattering lead bricks across the chamber and revealing the hammer itself. Efric's was exposed to its radiance in full. Some device of Kairos's protected him, but the sight of Gal Maraz to him was agony beyond agonies. Sweat dripped from his face, and he emitted a strangled scream. The Nine Lords of Change shuffled aside. As the last entered, the particles of light gathered themselves, and gates barred the way once more.
There! The first piece is in place.
One of Kairos's heads swung to address Efric's directly.
Now for the second.
Kairos raised his hands and extended his long necks. A yellow and green nimbus flickered around his staff. The Lord of Change said nothing, only held his arms aloft for a moment, then lowered them slowly.
It is done.
The ground heaved. The space around the inner keep became hot as a forge, and the stone of the ground glowed white with heat. From this bubbling pool rose up a complex machine, plucked from the hidden workings of reality, its spars and cogs dripping molten rock.
To work, Efric's,
said Kairos.
I am afraid you must perform this rite. I do not wish to suffer the energies myself. Quickly now,
said Kairos's other head. Efric stepped close to the machine as it fully emerged. His clothes smouldered. His eyes watered, but he could not close them. The machine and the ground were cooling, and it was this alone that saved Efric's skin and sight.
Begin the reversal,
said Kairos. Efric's set his body into motion. He knew the spell, of course, and locked inside his body, he cursed himself for the curiosity that had set him to learning it. At the black-worded incantation, the machine began to work, turning against the way its creator intended. Although physically divorced from the world, it retained a connection with it, and as it screeched into life, reality grumbled around it. The natural order of things was flung into reverse.
Glorious, glorious,
cackled Kairos.
Magic infuses everything. A heady mix of so many colours and winds. Feel it, Efric's. This is true power. Further, further. Make the silver flow away, so that we may greet our master in person.
The ground shook. The tower encasing the keep swayed. With a groan of tortured metal, Efric's dwelling sheared away from the tower's stalk, revealing the shard gate blazing directly above.
Ah, that's the way, small sorcerer,
said Kairos indulgently. Efric's limbs ached. Age ran cold claws over his bones. He had lived for hundreds of years, and his powers promised thousands more. But the Arcanabulum ran roughshod over the laws of nature and magic both, and the sorcerer withered as he chanted. His spine twisted, and his horns lost their luster, becoming flaky and dull. His hands clawed with arthritis. All the while, Kairos croaked and clattered his beaks in laughter, and true hate bloomed in Efric's heart.
Success! Ha! Well done!
Shouted Kairos. The moon ground to a halt, and slowly, reluctantly, began to slide backwards. It went back past the point of apogee, and with a sudden rush, the silver holding the fortress liquefied and ran back into the sea. Chapter 8. The Will of Tzeentch. A cackling demon ripped the head from the retributor at Vandas's side. His body vanished into a blaze of light that reached for the churning clouds, only to veer sideways and be dragged into the fabric of the Eldritch Fortress. Vandas shouted out his anger, smashing the pink demon down with his warhammer. It burst, and from the gory remains climbed two smaller blue demons. Where the first had laughed and howled, these scowled and grumbled as they fought. Vandas slew these two also, and spurred Kallanax onward. Faustus fought nearby, an unstoppable tornado of hammer and sword. They were through the breach, into the first courtyard. Many ways led off the ward, leading into a labyrinth of passages and walls, but ahead the route was clear. The walls were riven by magic and war, and the tower's base was visible to him through a further gap. Vandas pushed his way on. The stormcasts were dwindling in number, but remained in good order. With liberators in solid lines, judicators behind, retributors and decimators working in small groups to bring down the worst of the demons and the greatest champions. There was a screech like that of tortured metal. The shard gate pulsed ever quicker. The ground shook, and the top of the tower fell down. Incredibly, the moon was reversing its course.
"We do not have much time," shouted Vandas. "Onwards, before they steal the hammer from us!"
With a ringing of trumpets, the stormcast pushed forward to the gap in the next wall. They poured through, routing the few warriors of chaos that dared stand before them. Vandas felt a surge of relief as they crossed the second courtyard. But then the walls rippled and became convoluted, trapping 20 of his men within. The courtyard became smaller, then opened up at one end. A fresh foe waited behind. A huge warlord with a skull for a helm and a demonic hound beside him. He bore a demon weapon, a two-headed brass-bound axe the size of a mortal man. A band of massively muscled warriors attended him, eyes bereft of reason, teeth stained brown with the blood of the innocents. They stood tensely, a rigidity coming off them as a wall of iron-tinged heat.
"Cool," said Vandas. "I have come for you, Blackfist. You are the last of your tribe. You think yourself my equal, raised up by your puny god."
Kul swept his axe around to point at Vandas. It trailed streamers of unlight. The fabric of reality tore upon its edge. The air shed droplets of blood and screamed.
"You are nothing, craven, fleeing into the arms of Sigmar when I prove stronger. I will destroy you and offer up your skull to Khorne, as I gave the skulls of your wife and children to him."
Vandas was nearly overcome by the urge to rush at Kul. Hatred boiled in every part of his being. The ghost of the man he had been demanded vengeance. Kallanax felt his wrath and stamped and snorted. Perhaps Vendel Blackfist would have broken from his men, his anger overcoming reason and sense. But Vandas was Vendel no longer. He fought down his fury and shouted out an order to his few remaining warriors.
"Defensive square!"
he bellowed. Horns rang, and his men ran quickly into a formation opposing the mob of Kul's warriors. Kul laughed hollowly, a madman's humor, sick and shot with blood greed.
"Coward! Very well. Hide behind your golden weaklings. No matter how much magic Sigmar has imbued you with, it will not help you."
The tribesmen around Kul gripped their weapons and growled, barely holding their anger in check.
"Blood for the blood god! Skulls for the skull throne!"
shouted Kul, his words so thick and crazed they were barely discernible. A raw cry of unfettered rage. With an animal shout, the warriors of Khorgos Kul surged forwards. The bloodbound crashed into the shield wall of the liberators with shocking force, only to be thrown back. A bloody toll was levied by the judicators behind the liberators. The last prosecutors picking off Kul's elite deep within their own ranks, while prosecutors plugged gaps in the line. Again the bloodbound charged, and again. Vandas and Faustus fought side by side, slaughtering the followers of Khorne by the dozen wherever they went. Soon enough, Vandas realized that no man of Kul's dared raise a blade against him, and he used this reticence to his advantage. But Vandas's stormcasts were fatigued and diminished in number, and the bloodbound of Kul fresh and numerous. One by one, the protectors were slain, and the prosecutors dragged from the air. Before long, the ranks of the Stormcasts were in tatters, and the battle had descended into a swirling maelstrom of individual melees. At this moment, Korgos Kool chose to strike. He burst through his own men, his great axe parting their souls from their bodies in his eagerness to bring down his enemy. The demonic hound at his side leapt at Thostos. The strange magic infusing the Lord Celestant saved his flesh from the creature's teeth, but he was knocked sprawling and clanged off the cobbles of the courtyard. Vandus and Kallanax faced Kool alone.
"Now you will join Korn, Blakefist, as his skull to be ground beneath his feet," snarled the Chaos Lord.
Vandus and Kallanax were forced back by Kool's ferocious assault. Their weapons banged and flared from one another as each lord strove to bring the other low. Through Vandus's concentration on the fight came the realization that he and Thostos were alone, beset on all sides by the Kool's bloodbound. No weapon could harm Thostos, and the followers of Kool drew back from the duel between Vandus and the Cornate Lord. Still, Vandus was being forced backwards. A clatter of wheels came from behind. From the corner of his eye, Vandus saw Thostos leap and heard a bestial cry as something died. Then Kool barged Vandus aside, knocking him sprawling from Kallanax. The Chaos Lord's axe slammed into the blade of another, staying it from slaying Vandus.
"I said the Hammerhand was mine, Thrond," roared Kool. "My kingdom? Who are you to demand the head of our foe?"
Thrond asked.
"Wizard's puppet, you dare defy me. I shall add your head to the tally."
Kool's fury broke like a dam, and he slammed into Thrond, knocking him from the back of his chariot. The two Chaos Lords wrestled upon the blood-slick cobbles. Thrond's warriors let out a cry and turned upon the bloodbound. The far side of the square erupted into fresh and furious battle. Vandus stood, Heldensen at the ready. The bloodbound parted before him, teeth bared. Their muscles stood out from their necks and their eyes glared. They strained like dogs on a leash, but they would not defy their master. They would not attack him. He was Kool's alone to slay. Thostos came to his side.
"We must kill him," said Thostos.
The desire for revenge burned coldly in his baleful eyes.
"Do you not think I wish to slay him?" asked Vandus. "Our duty lies elsewhere." "Where is your desire for wrath and ruin?"
Thostos's voice reverberated strangely behind his war mask.
"There is a time for vengeance. This is not it. One petty revenge can upset the chance for 10,000 greater victories. Come."
Reluctantly, Thostos backed away from the horde.
"This way,"
said Vandus, and pointed to a gateway barred by a portcullis. Kallanax rejoined them, forcing his way through the melee. The bloodbound of Kool would not fight him either.
"Strange luck," Thostos said as Vandus remounted.
"Let us pray it holds," said Vandus.
Most of the warriors had backed away, going to join the fight with Thrond's knights. A few remained, unsure. Vandus held his hammer in a guard, ready for them, but still they did not attack. More and more of them were glancing over their shoulders to the duel between Thrond and Kool. Thostos broke the portcullis into pieces with one swing of his hammer and rushed through. Vandus came behind him on Kallanax. No warrior of Korn dared follow him.
"The hammer is close,"
Vandus shouted. Before them was the Tower of Efrix, its side rent apart. Light blazed through cracks. A deafening shout made him turn. Riding upon the platform of another chariot came a warrior Vandus recognized, Kool's lieutenant, the bearer of the icon that had summoned the realm of chaos into Akshi. The blood secretor carried his icon with him, blood boiling from Korn's rune in a crimson fog.
"We sell our lives dearly, then,"
said Vandus. Thostos snarled. From the other side of this courtyard, demons came capering. The two Lord Celestants were surrounded anew.
"I will slay you.
I will cut your head free. I will spit on your corpse and dedicate your skull to Korn,"
shouted the blood secretor. Spittle flew from lips bitten raw.
"Kool has claimed my head," said Vandus. "Do you dare his wrath?"
"Kool is weak. Sigma is weak. Blood for the blood god!"
The Lord of Skulls cares not from whence the blood flows.
The Bloodsecrator grins savagely, exposing black teeth filed to points.
Do you hear that, feeble one? Your power is nothing compared to mine.
He slammed his weapon against his heavily muscled, scarred chest and raised his icon to the clouds, boiling impotently in the sky.
Do you hear? You are weak, Sigma, weak.
In reply, a mighty thunder boomed. The sky split with a bolt of blue as wide as a tower. It struck the wall, then again, opening up a fresh breach. The metal of the wall exploded. The breaches revealed the sea and the broadness of the crucible. Clouds raced around its rim, and light played there, bright and godly. More lightning bolts slammed into the earth. The Bloodsecrator and his tribesmen recoiled. From out of the light stepped a figure bearing an icon of his own, topped also with the emblems of death.
It is you who are weak, to fearfully sell yourself to the murder god, said Ionis Cryptborn.
A bolt of pure magic shot from his hammer and blasted the chariot. The metal of it withered, the draft beasts were slain, and the Bloodsecrator was cast from it and lofted through the wall, where he fell flailing into the silver sea far below. Light faded. All around Ionis stood a host of Stormcast Eternals.
Ionis, you are returned, said Vandas. How did you manage it so quickly?
I told you, my friend. Death has little hold on me, said Ionis.
Singing their praises to Sigmar, the storm hosts charged. The renewed crusade fought on, smashing demon and mortal alike, until Vandas and Thostos forced their way through the fracture in Efrix's ruined tower and into the space it contained. A bizarre machine sat there, creaking and pinking as it cooled. There was the hidden keep, light burning from its riven walls.
Galmaras, said Vandas breathlessly.
The sorcerer!
Efrix,
said Thostos. The heat of emotion entered his voice, his deadened soul awakened by hatred. The sorcerer had become ancient, bent with age. He hobbled as quickly as he was able from the machine towards the iron doors of the inner keep. As he passed within, a wall of fire leapt up, encircling the keep. The sorcerer's bodyguard moved to interpose themselves between the gates and the vengeful storm hosts. In the sky, the shard gate was sinking, the infernal energies spilling from it now caressing the tower's stump.
We are running out of time, said Vandas.
But Thostos had already rushed ahead, a group of returned celestial vindicators at his heels, and was slaughtering his way through Efrix's bodyguard. Vandas went after, Kallanax bowling over four of the hulking warriors.
Retributors to the gates, ordered Vandas.
Kallanax forced his way through the bodyguard, Vandas smashing them to the ground with Heldensen. In short order, there were no more Chaos slaves to slay. Protectors held the breach into the tower, preventing others from assailing the lords. Outside, bolts of celestial energy rained down.
Hurry,
urged Vandas. The retributors banged rhythmically on the gates with their lightning hammers. The flames crackled, the warp light racing over the vile carvings that covered their surfaces. The fires went out, and the warriors attacked. The gates shook with each impact, but did not shift. The shard gate continued its descent. There came a louder bang, and the gate shuddered differently, shifting on its mountings. A wide crack sprang across it. Blue light shone out, and the retributors called out joyously. They struck harder, until another crack, then another, crazed the surface of the door. Together with the light came the sound of chanting. Words so evil they crashed around his skull. Vandas fought against the pain, though blood ran from his ears. With one last impact, the doors burst inward in a storm of iron shards. Vandas and Thostos ran in, drawing sustenance from the holy light that bathed the chamber. The whole of the inner keep was one large domed chamber, with but two apertures. The gate and a slit window glazed with amethyst in the eastern wall. A rubble of lead bricks was scattered across the ground. Above it, chained by blood iron and bonds of pure magic, floated Galmaraz, Sigmar's own hammer and relic of the world that was. A coven of nine demons sought to take it for their master, and it was from them that the chanting came.
They turned one by one to glare at the stormcast Eternals, wizened faces full of hatred and amusement, knowing faces that carelessly harboured the wisdom of ages. There were 8 of lesser order, great in their own right, but not so powerful as the 9th, a 2-headed horror, taller than the rest and shrouded in dark majesty.
You cannot stop what has become. The end is in sight. Come in, come in. All are welcome in the crystal labyrinth of my master,
called the 2-headed greater demon. The eldritch fortress lurched, sending the stormcast Eternals staggering. Slowly, it began to rise towards the shard gate.
Get the hammer, yelled Vandas. Bring them down.
The stormcast charged. The greater demons came down to do battle, and all the while, Kairos laughed. Vandas hurled himself at a lord of change. To his left, 5 of his warriors were cut down by a bolt of dark fire. Others exploded, disappeared, or were transformed. The air wavered, and the scene changed. Vandas staggered, finding himself in a quiet forest. He spun about, looking for his foe. A sudden coldness gripped his legs, but when he looked, he could see nothing amiss.
Do not trust your senses, he said to himself. They cannot help you. Trust Sigma.
He shut his eyes, letting the vision fugue come down on him. In his mind's eye, the interior of the chamber overlaid itself upon the forest. The room was ablaze with magic. Some of his warriors staggered about, as lost as he. Only the celestial vindicators seemed unaffected, and in his state of altered perception, Vandas could see how the fury in them burned hot enough to sear away the magic set against them. A bird-headed demon shrieked as enchanted blades cut into it and laid it low. His own opponent stared at him with dead eyes, its hand waving up and down slowly. Cruel humour was writ upon its features. It does not know I can see it, thought Vandas. With a great effort of will, he called upon his distant body to obey him. With a mighty heave, he swung Heldensen. His limbs felt feeble, as if they moved underwater. Heldensen sped true, smashing the demon in the face. Its head snapped back, and with a blast of warp light, it fell dead upon the floor. The glamour was lifted by the demon's expulsion, and Kallanax pressed forward towards the hammer. The shard gate was forcing its way through the domed ceiling, still descending as the fortress rose up. Chunks of masonry fell down, and the whole keep rumbled.
Thostos, the hammer! Called Vandas.
Kallanax pushed onwards, fighting through a swarm of leaping demons that twisted into being from jets of fire projected by a lord of change.
The chains!
Shouted Thostos back. Vandas nodded in acknowledgement. He stood up in Kallanax's saddle, swinging his hammer at the first of Galmaraz's restraints. Several links burst. Fizzling magic, they fell away. Thostos cleaved through 1, then 2, with his rune blade. Vandas rode swiftly to the next, then the next.
You cannot triumph. This hammer belongs to Tzeentch,
crowed Kairos. The greater demon stalked across the floor and leveled his staff at Thostos. From the top of the rod spouted a gout of magical fire. When it touched the celestial vindicator, his magic aura seemed to transmute his flesh into pure sigmarite. But the fire burned hotter and hotter, and Thostos's body began to run. With heroic effort, Thostos cut through another chain, one of pure light, that vanished as Thostos's sword passed through it. Stormcasts ran to Thostos's aid, but Kairos sent them sprawling with a thought, and the Lord Celestant remained trapped in the searing fire. Vandas rode to the next chain and shattered it. The noise attracted the attention of Kairos's left head.
Ah, I think not,
said the Lord of Change.
He thinks he can outthink me,
said the other head.
Kairos, Fate Weaver, said the first head.
He advanced on Vandas. The fire winked out, and Thostos fell to the side.
The great oracle, to whom no secret of past,
said the first head.
Or future,
said the other.
Is any kind of secret at all,
they said together. The end of his staff glowed with awful light.
Now,
said the heads together,
let us change you into something fitting.
A bolt of light streaked from the side of the room, catching the Lord of Change on the arm. Kairos's heads snapped round. An Ionis Cryptborn sent another blast at the demon.
In the corner of the room, Efrix blinked. The green light went from his eyes as Kairos's control of Efrix was shattered, his master embroiled in a magical duel with the skull-faced warrior.
"Kairos," he said.
His aged voice was a dry whisper. The sorcerer bent painfully to the floor and took up a fallen staff of change. Its violent energies coursed through him, warping his flesh and soul, but he hobbled forward toward his treacherous master. The shard gate, the hammer, the invasion, all had become of no consequence. He was consumed by his hatred of Kairos. Raising the staff in palsied hands, Efrix swung at Kairos's back. The head of the staff barely scratched the demon's skin, but it was enough. Kairos flung back his head and screeched from both mouths. Rippling energy engulfed him. His physical form sped through a dozen transmutations. A tusked sky ray, a moon-faced puppet jerking in multicolored flame, a pink-skinned lesser demon, a statue of coal, and a churring songbird. Efrix sank to his knees, all his strength gone.
"You didn't see that coming, did you? You preening peacock."
"Vandalus, the hammer," said Thostos, his voice a gurgle.
Vandus stood upon Kalanax's back and launched himself at Gal Maraz. He flew through the air, hand outstretched. A Lord of Change reached out for him, only to be blasted back by a bolt of lightning from Kalanax. A second fell to a magical attack from Ionis. Time slowed to a crawl. A thousand futures depended on this moment. Vandus's fingers closed upon the gleaming haft of the hammer. The last chain fell away, and it came free. His mind flooded with memories that were not his own, images from times and places far away, and a world long gone. Then he was falling and rolling. He came up easily, and he held the power of a god in one hand. Kairos Fateweaver leaned over him, the last effects of his transformations flickering over his faces as he regained control of his form. The demon lifted a hand, and a glow of power formed around it.
"Do not think that is yours," he said.
"Nor is it yours," said Vandus.
Before he had even formed the intent to move, Gal Maraz streaked forward with the power of a comet. Vandus was only the means to the end. The weapon used him to exert its will. Gal Maraz smashed into Kairos's shoulder, sending the arm spinning free in a spray of mashed flesh and demonic ichor. Kairos shrieked, twin screams from both mouths. The hammer arced round, dragging Vandus's hand with it. It powered into Kairos's left head, caving in his skull and sending it crashing into the right. Kairos toppled forward, cawing in pain. Vandus stepped back, and the hammer swung up and down, crushing one head into a bloody paste upon the floor, then the second. Kairos's body convulsed, making a scream like a whistle. He juddered, vibrating so quickly his outline was a blur. He convulsed, inwards, outwards, then, with a sorry pop, he transformed into a smoky crystal. Vandus brought his boot heel down hard on the gem, crushing it to glittering powder. The shard gate was now only feet above Vandus's head. He held Gal Maraz up in defiance.
"See this, great changer? This is Gal Maraz, Sigmar's weapon of old. It is in my hand, and shall soon be in the hand of the God King. Fear it, for as it slew your servant, so one day shall it slay you."
Lightning burst from the hammer. Wherever it landed, it struck down a servant of chaos. The roof of the keep was flying apart, the tower coming to pieces around it. The fabric of the Eldritch Fortress was rooted in the power of the hammer, and now that Gal Maraz was free, it disintegrated, the pieces flying upwards into the Shardgate, where they exploded into showers of silver sparks. The skulls around the walls burst. A furious howl raged from the Shardgate, sending the incarnate stormcasts reeling. It went on and on, then changed pitch, becoming wild laughter. The Shardgate winked out. An echo of the laughter remained, and for a moment the bare floor of the keep hung in the air over the site of the Eldritch Fortress.
Ionis, Thostus, and 24 more storm hosts stood upon a mosaic that depicted Sigmar in his glory, the last remnant of Elixir's great monument. The sorcerer Efrix lay dead upon the God King's face. Then the floor tilted and dropped towards the naked summit of the island, coming apart as it fell. Upon the bare stone, its fragments shattered, scattering the storm hosts all about into the ranks of their brethren. Of their foes there was no sign. All were gone, taken up by the Shard Gate. Vandas lay sprawled upon his back, looking upwards. The alchemist's moon had resumed its true course, and as it passed overhead, a new light was revealed. A brilliant, pure radiance that banished every scrap of shadow from the island. A twin-tailed comet burned across the heavens. Vandas held aloft the Godhammer, saluting the arrival of the Sigmarabulus. A great peal of thunder split the sky. The storm hosts fell to their knees and were surrounded by a blaze of light. Gal-Maraz was reunited with its master, and the war began in earnest. That was Warhammer, Age of Sigmar, Gal-Maraz, read by Jonathan Keeble. This work is copyrighted to Games Workshop, 2015.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program.